Hello, and welcome once again to the Ottoman Blind Squirrel Dietz blogcast, which addresses the continuing question of Ottoman Blind Squirrel Dietz. Episode 4, The Lost Portal of Nishnabatna, read by Charles Wilkinson. The background track is Blasé from the Stackpole Loop, composed by Ottoman Blind Squirrel Dietz. Recently, I ran across an article in the BBC News titled, quote, "A Bizarre Journey Beyond Earth's Borders," close quote. It seemed silly on its face, and the question mark that punctuated the title merely amplified its potential for intrigue. So I jumped right on it, hoping for kittens in spacesuits, or vertigo-inducing orreries, with planets, or even cats hurtling across my laptop screen. I was only briefly disappointed, realizing shortly that my original hopes had been shallow indeed. After reading and then rereading the article and poking around in the associated website, https://chimericstheer.com, and the links to both the original BBC article and the associated website are in the accompanying text, I have contacted Eames Demetrius, the geographer at large. I share the following letter with you as persons interested in ethnomusicological matters, even though they be only peripherally connected to matters dietzological. A timely reminder re The Lost Portal of Nishnabatna, regarding your currently and understandably incomplete heritage landmarks. Eames Demetrius, geographer at large. Dear sir, I feel obligated as a dedicated observer of such matters to alert you to a site that has been neglected, probably unintentionally, unless your oversight committee has been perplexed by the paradox presented by the significance of the site and by the paucity of authoritative supporting evidence for it. In either case, may I take this opportunity to applaud you on your program and to offer my own first-hand account of Ethnomusicology College, the placement of which institution is relevant to your organization's mission. Ethnomusicology College was founded on what were once the banks of the Nishnabatna River, at the point at which it departs from the Missouri River at 40 degrees 28 minutes 58.4 seconds north, 95 degrees 41 minutes 42.6 seconds west, and before it passes Hamburg, Iowa, and splits into its two branches, the East Nishnabatna River and the East Nishnabatna River, at 40 degrees 39 minutes 8.5 seconds north, 95 degrees 37 minutes 25.7 seconds west. The cartographic confusion that led to two identically named branches of the river also attracted the attention of the Brotherhood of International Ethnomusicologists and then led, after considerable discussion, to the location of the college on its banks, some 40 miles south of Omaha, Nebraska. The Brotherhood of International Ethnomusicologists and some of the younger and more flippant of the brothers have been known in their banter to reference the NEAR acronym therein and volunteer that, quote, "Yes, it's cheese, but it's good cheese," close quote, decided on the college's placement after having concluded that during the Great Blues Migration from New Orleans and the Mississippi Delta to St. Louis and onward toward Chicago, at least some of the finer musicians, possibly being illiterate and probably not paying the closest attention, as dedicated as they would have been to their instruments and to their roots music, certainly took the wrong turn at the fork of the Missouri and the Mississippi rivers and headed northwest on the Missouri toward Omaha. It was pointed out repeatedly and progressively more loudly, and with local maps and legends waved in support, that a surprisingly large number of locally influential people had clearly been significantly directionally challenged. It is worth noting on the side of this argument that the first settlers of the town of Hamburg believed that they lived in Missouri rather than in Iowa. It was also postulated that many of the original cartographers who may well have insinuated themselves among the legions of other prospective immigrants were also quite possibly only marginally literate, leading the unsuspecting, if not to Hamburg, then to Omaha, which must as a result be a veritable hotbed of as yet undiscovered blues musicians. While this supposition has not ultimately borne fruit, and in fact has resulted in some degree of ridicule at the hands of competing contemporaries, that mistake was not acknowledged until well after the school's foundation had been poured and its marketing efforts had been launched. It was then that the Brotherhood decided that sequestration should feature prominently in the novitiate's term at the college, and that they could cut expenses considerably if they removed windows from their architectural plans. This, too, led to snickering in certain circles and has been referred to at conferences and in occasional white papers as, quote, the Great Defenestration, close quote. As a result, during the time I spent in the novitiate, I had regrettably little first-hand experience with the area, although I was told, A, that the absence of windows was to remind us to return our wandering gazes to the primary objects of our studies, and B, that it was ultimately for our protection, because the wilderness that surrounded us was at best disturbing and at worst dangerous. It was from this vantage point that I uncovered Ottoman Blind Squirrel Dietz, a musician from Central Virginia whose adventures have since become my life's work. I have vowed to winnow myth from mere eccentricity, exposing, translating, and interpreting the blind squirrel's exploits in the hope of discovering something about the human condition, or of at least recovering some of the losses I have since sustained at Dietz's hands. None other than C.W. McCall, whose contributions to the cultural mainstream include such classic works as Convoy and The Old Home Filler Up and Keep on a Truckin' Cafe, has devoted his considerable talents to describing our river in his song, Nishnabotna. Representative lyrics include, quote, "We jumped into that dirty water and I thought we might be able to swim in it, but we quickly discovered that we could not even begin to dog paddle in it, because right where we was, the Nishnabotna was only 4.5 inches deep," close quote. One cannot help noticing that McCall, while operating contemporaneously, makes no mention of the college, either as a going concern, as a structure, or as a ruin. Earlier in the song, he asserts that he is in the West Nishnabotna, and one might draw one's own conclusions about his directional challenges, but one might also consider the possibilities that Mr. McCall was too genteel to cast aspersions on the river in its entirety, or that he was offering a surreptitious clue to an alternate possibility. It is this utter absence of credible evidence, as though the first explorers passing through a major musical causeway and those who followed them had been removed in their entirety, that is the final proof I needed. When I drop this piece into the puzzle, the entire puzzle disappears in a flurry of red herrings. To begin with, there is the unusual cartographic error. How can one publish and then permit the perpetuation of a map which displays two distinct branches named, quote, East, close quote, Nishnabotna? Then there is the fellowship's acceptance of their failure, their conventional institutional dismissal of their major premise. How could there be no musicians whose migration took them to Omaha? Finally, there is McCall's misdirection, a man whose professional integrity depended on deep knowledge of truckers and truck-driving culture would be highly unlikely to make such a fundamental error, particularly when a reference to the original misnaming of the Nishnabotna's branches would have been an additional source of humor in his song. Together, these factors point to one and only one conclusion: that there exists in the immediate vicinity a sort of localized, sublime interference that will be familiar to your oversight committee, not unlike other portals memorialized through your organization's efforts. With this overwhelming absence of evidence as my support, I therefore respectfully request that an ethnomusicological expedition be mounted with the goal of finding and breaching the portal to Chimeric Sphere, which must be in the vicinity. The missing musicians, their heirs or assigns, be contacted and their lost works recovered. All publication rights naturally will fall to me. Your project will then also have the requisite information for describing these musicians' doubtless influential roles as Chimeric Sphaerian bards and balladeers. If, however, we do not possess the necessary equipment or enjoy the serendipitous timing to pass through the portal, a gifted ethnomusicologist is available to offer his services in describing their probable history and impact on Chimeric Sphere for purposes of memorializing their contributions in stone or bronze, which will surely be an acceptable alternative, at least in the short term. On yet the other hand, if the above referenced site is already on your list, but simply has not been acknowledged publicly, please accept my profound apologies. My services are at your disposal, and I will begin my pilgrimage upon your notification. With warmest regards, Charles Wilkinson. I anticipate Mr. Demetrius's enthusiastic reply and will communicate it to you when it arrives. Until the next one.